West, we are constantly bombarded with artificially extracted Holocaust guilt. This Trojan horse being rammed down our throats is nothing more than a charade to guilt trip the world into being sympathetic to Jews, Zionism, Marxism, and Israel. They force it on our youngsters by embedding it in school curriculum. They tirelessly promote this dogma via Hollywood movie after Hollywood movie. They erect giant multi-million dollar museums using taxpayer money to commemorate their dead. And they demand that we pay tribute to them as well. Never mind the 60 million Gentiles who perished in the war. They enact legislation in Europe making it a felony to question their version of history. They are so zealous in the promotion of this story that anyone daring to question their version of events is ruthlessly hounded down and persecuted, dragged through port, physically attacked, terrorized, imprisoned, and even killed. This depravity knows no bounds and has no end. Meanwhile, as the Jews protect their Holocaust story jealously, the Jewish media has been covering up a dark secret for many years. It is a fact of history that is very little discussed in the West, for obvious reasons. Your history teacher in high school and history professor in the university likely never even mentioned it, or if mentioned, it was probably glossed over rather quickly and the true circumstances and characters involved were not disclosed. That secret is one which would negate any false sympathy and guilt instilled in you by the Jews. It would prove them to be hypocrites and phonies. Indeed, what I am referring to is the dark and despotic history of communism. The following facts can be readily verified and have been documented in numerous books, including the following ones which I highly recommend. Behind Communism by Frank L. Britton and Under the Sign of the Scorpion by Yuri Lina.
The U.S. State Department, in its three-volume report on the origins of communism in Russia, published in 1931, reveals how Jewish-controlled German banks, under the leadership of Max Warburg, conspired as early as 1914 to send large payments to Lenin, Trotsky, and others in their attempts to bring down the Tsar. As part of this conspiracy, Jacob Schiff, head of the New York Jewish banking house of Kuhn Loeb, invested at least $20 million, which would be close to $1 billion today, toward the establishment of Bolshevism in Russia. In its article on socialism, the Jewish Encyclopedia, published in 1905, freely admits that Jews in Russia were ripe for revolution. In Russia, it, socialism, has become a movement of the Jewish masses. The later Encyclopedia Judaica tells us the communist movement and ideology played an important part in Jewish life, particularly in the 1920s and 1930s, and during and after World War II. The Judaica, in fact, presents an extensive list of the most powerful Jewish leaders of Bolshevism, which included Trotsky, Sverdlov, Zinoviev, Kamenev, Litvinov, Kaganovich, and many others. The Judaica also tells us just how many Jews filled the communist ranks. It says anti-Semitism drove the bulk of Russian Jewish youth into the ranks of the Bolshevik regime. When the white Russian patriots heroically attempted to regain their freedom from the Jews, the Judaica says compact Jewish masses were utilized by the Bolsheviks to suppress such counter-revolution. Clearly, Jews and native Russians were engaged in a death struggle over the destiny of Russia. Unfortunately, the Jewish masses won. A rare photo shows the First People's Commissariat. From left to right are Yuritsky, Trotsky, Zinoviev, Sverdlov, and Kaganovich, all Jewish. In 1918, intelligence services of the Western powers were buzzing with reports that communism was an international conspiracy fomented by atheistic Jews. British, Dutch, American, and other intelligence reports confirmed that Jews filled the Bolshevik ranks and that as much as 75% of all Soviet commissars were Jewish.
In the case of history, perhaps no greater historical revisions have been made than in the former Soviet Union. Often, people were assassinated by the Soviet secret police, better known as the Cheka, NKVD, or the KGB, in the middle of the night. It is often said that it was Jews who orchestrated the Russian Revolution that resulted in the communist government, and as US government documents looking at this period are said to prove. At the time, Jews openly bragged about this fact, how they arrested the Tsar, murdered his wife, murdered his daughters, murdered his crippled son, murdered all his relatives, and then proceeded to murder millions of other innocent Russians. Some argue that the Jewish media barons ignore these atrocities, since the perpetrators of these crimes were in fact mostly Jewish. When all is said and done, the editor-in-chief of the US News and World Report, Jewish activist Mortimer Zuckerman, conceded the following fact in an article on June 11, 1990, calling the end of the Soviet Union the end of the promised land. Soviet officials now concede that Stalin and the party under him were responsible for the deaths of 40 million people. Winston Churchill described the situation back then in England's Illustrated Sunday Herald of February the 8th, 1920, thus: "From the days of Spartacus Weishaupt to those of Karl Marx, and down to Trotsky in Russia, Balakun, Hungary, Rosa Luxemburg, Germany, and Emma Goldman, United States, this worldwide conspiracy for the overthrow of civilization has been steadily growing. There is no need to exaggerate the part played in the creation of Bolshevism and in the actual bringing about of the Russian Revolution by these international, and for the most part, atheistical Jews. It is certainly a very great one. It probably outweighs all others." End quote. Undoubtedly, some Jews believe Churchill to be an anti-Semite. In the early days of the Soviet Union, when the bloodletting reached its climax, Lazar Kaganovich was the Jewish head of the KGB and was well known for his purges of those who opposed Jewish control. It is argued that Stalin, whose second wife was Kaganovich's sister, was a mere figurehead. Some believe that the numerous Jews below Stalin in all significant positions ran the show. As proof, some point out that many of the churches were burnt to the ground, while the synagogues were left standing. Many priests were forced to sweep the streets and others were murdered. The Jewish Soviet leaders held rabbis in high esteem, and those people who dared to criticize the Jewish supremacy were mercilessly murdered as anti-Semitism became a crime punishable by death in the Soviet Union. It is argued that Jews would like to make anti-Semitism punishable by death a law on a worldwide scale even today. Throughout all this, as you would expect, people just kept on disappearing. It is said that the Jewish propagandists there worked to conceal these facts as best they could.
As illustrated by the previous videos, communism is a movement by the Jews, for the Jews. It was founded by Jews, funded by Jews, and institutionalized by them in many countries. Starting with the Jew Karl Marx and his mentor Moses Hess, who started the whole business, presenting their lunatic ravings as a noble ideology to liberate the oppressed workers and poor farmers from the capitalist elite, claiming their aim was at creating a utopian society, equality among all mankind. These satanic bunch of schemers had a secret agenda only known to themselves and their kinsmen. Their ultimate goal was the obliteration of planet Earth and the end of all living things. This murderous, blood-stained ideology of death swept Russia, Eastern Europe, and Asia, taking with it 100 million helpless souls to their graves. In Russia, it is common knowledge amongst the people that Jews inflicted this ruthless despotism on their country and murdered 40 million of their countrymen in forced labor camps and death camps all across Russia. Not only were the Jews riding high as commissars and communist party bosses under Stalin, but they were manning the gulag camps as commandants and torturers. In fact, it was the Jews Matvei Berman and Naftali Frankel who invented the Soviet gulags. Those two, along with Yaakov Rapoport, Lazar Konan, Aaron Soltz, and Genrikh Yagoda, head of the NKVD, were the six Jewish administrators of the Soviet murder machine during its worst years in the 1920s and 1930s. It is even admitted in Jewish publications that a list of Soviets accused of being behind the forced starvation of 7 million Ukrainian kulaks, which is now known as the Holodomor, were mostly Jewish, led by the Jewish kingpin Lazar Kaganovich. Jewish control of communism was not confined to Russia alone. After World War II, the communist regimes imposed on Eastern Europe were also controlled and dominated by Jews.
The book I wrote in about 1975 was, as Rick mentioned, the history of the Hungarian uprising of 1956 against the communist occupation of Hungary, for which I had access to a certain number of CIA files, which were very interesting because the CIA carried out in-depth psychological interrogations of a large number of the Hungarian refugees who came to this country after 1956. And there was no doubt in my mind, a very interesting discovery indeed. But the odd thing was that when I began writing that book, I discovered from the CIA files that the Hungarian people, when they started that uprising, it began as an anti-Jewish pogrom. It was essentially an anti-Jewish revolution and not an anti-communist revolution to begin with for the first few days. The Hungarian people regarded that their government in the 1950s as being a Jewish government. And they regarded the secret police, the dreaded Államvédelmi Hatóság, the AVH, as being a Jewish secret police. And essentially it was, because when the Red Army entered Hungary in 1945, they brought back into Hungary all the Jews who had taken refuge in the Soviet Union, and they were the ones who got the plum jobs, and they were the ones who got the trustworthy jobs as secret police chiefs and as torturers. And that's why the Jews were so hated in Hungary by 1956, because they were regarded as the people who had inflicted this nameless misery on the Hungarian people. And so the uprising began as an anti-Jewish uprising. Every one of the Hungarian leaders at that time in 1956, Rákosi and Farkas and Győr and the rest of the Hungarian leaders, they were all Jews. And I never realized that when I set out to write it. It's an extraordinary fact the way these things are kept away from the public consciousness.
Theory of the regime. In Hungary, for example, there was the regime of the communist Jew, Matyas Rákosi, followed by another communist Jew, Ernő Győr. In Romania, the communist Jewess Anna Pauker ruled the country as first secretary of the Central Committee. In Poland, the minister for state control was the communist Jew, Roman Zembrowski. In Czechoslovakia, the secretary general of the Communist Party was the communist Jew, Rudolf Slansky. In Yugoslavia, while Tito held the spotlight, the communist Jew, Moshe Tiadi, was the chairman of the National Assembly and president of Serbia. And so it went. And this, in a Europe whose Jews supposedly had all been holocausted by Hitler. There were tens of millions of Hungarians and Poles and Latvians and Serbs and other Eastern Europeans under the yoke of communism who were wishing that Hitler had actually holocausted the Jews. These communist Jews were so hated by the Eastern Europeans they ruled and exploited that there was constant turmoil. And after the Hungarian uprising in 1956, many of the leading communist Jews were replaced by Gentile frontmen, while the Jews continued to exploit the people from behind the scenes.